Good evening and welcome to the Artist First Radio Network. I'm Richie K, sitting here in the studio in Alliance, Ohio, sending out all my love to the world. Hope you guys are doing great out there. We've got a great show for you tonight. Beef Wellington and the Mad Cows are here. How are you guys doing tonight?
Fantastic.
Doing great.
Can you hear me all right over there?
Uh-huh. Yep, perfect.
We've got two lines on the air tonight, so hopefully we'll be able to keep everybody from talking over each other. I'd like to introduce these guys. We've got Jason Arvanites, or is it Arvanites?
It's Arvanites, like arthritis.
Arvanites, like arthritis, and Gary Alt,
right,
who have been on the air before. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
This project's very special to you, and I can tell that by the enormous care you've put into the album cover, which very closely resembles another great album, Sergeant
Pepper's. Abbey Road, that's right.
Yeah, right.
I thought it was Meet the Beatles. Wow.
So I guess we have some Beatles fans in the house, or maybe not. I see John Lennon is wearing a dress on the album.
No, that was just a exploratory surgery.
I don't think he would disagree too horribly with that portrayal.
Yeah, I think those guys had a pretty good sense of humor, and that's all we're trying to do here.
I agree. So the album seems to have a sort of vegetarian connotation. Are you vegetarians?
Not in the slightest.
It says meatless in huge letters where you would normally see the Beatles on the Sgt.
Right.
Pepper's album cover. And
well,
some Simpsons characters in there, maybe some Gary Larson cows, looks like. Albert Einstein's playing the guitar on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Which, how did you get Albert to, I didn't even know he played the electric guitar.
Yeah, it took a lot to get him to agree to that shot. I think a friend actually sent me that, just coincidentally. He happened to send me an email with a picture of Albert Einstein's sporting a Les Paul, so I forgot how to use that somehow.
Wow, it's like a collage of a collage.
Uh-huh.
Or was he actually wearing a Les Paul in real life? Or was it a picture that was made to look like he was playing a guitar?
Yeah, I think it was a Photoshop picture.
Wow, Photoshop on top of Photoshop. We have a very postmodern album cover here. I gotta admit, I love it. So, where are you guys originally from?
I'm originally from Brooklyn, Long Island. I lived up in New Jersey where I live now for, I guess, about 20 plus years, 24, something like that.
And how's the music scene kicking in Brooklyn there?
Well, where I live up in northwest New Jersey, it's, you know, it's like anywhere else. It's, there are clubs here and there. But when I play out, I typically have to drive at least a half an hour because there's nothing really, really close to my house. But, it's thriving like anywhere else, I guess.
Well, not too far from New York City.
Right.
Do you head up to the city for shows as well?
Yeah, once in a while. It takes a lot of time to get in there, though, so.
Yeah.
We like to play North Jersey, Southern New York, that type of thing. So.
Is the boss from there originally, too? Am I mistaken?
He's from Asbury Park, New Jersey, if we're talking about the same boss.
Mr. Springsteen himself.
Yeah.
Oh, great. So do you have any sort of competition with him trying to take new ranking for the greatest act out of New Jersey since Springsteen? No.
Tough one.
Well.
Yeah, we're knocking him off the map pretty much. Him and Bon Jovi, they're pretty much has-beens at this point. You know?
Well, I really enjoyed listening to your record here today. I was enjoying it. Was sort of a mix of funky jams with alt rock kind of heaviness occasionally, but more the kind of I don't know, Kurt Cobain on the MTV acoustic unplugged kind of feel there for a little bit. So I don't know, what are your main influences musically?
Well, other than the obvious one, the Beatles there, a couple of the things, I mean, for me, I'm very eclectic. I don't even know where to begin and end. you know, because a lot of times I'll just start riffing with something. And I'm like, that kind of reminds me of this person or group, and I'll just go with that generally when it comes to songwriting.
So how did this particular project come together?
Well, it was actually Jason's idea. I mean, we've known each other for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now, and Jason and his wife Elaine helped me out tremendously on a couple of prior projects, and the next thing you know, we're playing in a band together, and Jason just, and, you know, we were both recording all the time separately, but, you know, helping each other out, and Jason just one day said, we should do an album together. It made sense to me, and I don't remember when that was, but it was probably about 2 years ago.
It was like, yeah. Like, I got emails back from, like, 2008, somewhere around there, and where I said, hey, I got this chunk of music I made back in 1990-something, and I don't know what to do with it. So I emailed it to him, and Gary slapped some melody and guitar over it. So I'm like, I like this. We could keep doing it.
So you're a duo, but I've heard on the record it sounds like you got quite a bit more going on than two instruments. How did you get other musicians to play on the album, or did you do everything yourself? How'd that all come together?
We pretty much did everything except for one song that Jason's wife Elaine sings on. We each did, you know, we each play guitar and keyboards and bass, and then we took turns deciding who's gonna do the drum track, and Jason does by far the majority of the singing. But yeah, we pretty much did everything. It was kind of an emailed project, basically. I mean, because Jason and I both have a very similar setup in terms of recording equipment and software and such. And, you know, he would put down something and email it to me, or, you know, you send it to me or something and say, hey, could you put a guitar track on here? So we weren't actually even in the same room for, like, the vast majority of this project.
Well, that's amazing. You're actually emailing tracks to each other?
Yeah, well, for the most part, that's what we did. Yeah,
a digital.
And we had to decide, well, who's gonna be the person that's gonna mix this and own the master to it. I don't mean own it, like, you know, but who's gonna take care of that? And so on each song is a different story, and some of them Jason mixed and mastered, and some of them I did.
Great. And are these tunes available somewhere? Can the people out in the audience find them somewhere?
Yeah, definitely. CDBaby.com. And we have an artist page, so if they go to cdbaby.com/artist/Beef Wellington and the Mad Cows all the way through. If you want to go directly to the album, you just type in cdbaby.com/beef WATMC. So either one will work. It's a mouthful, but...
Oh,
great.
You can just do a search, but it's a little
or the album title.
Just do a search for Beef Wellington and the Mad Cows, otherwise.
Yeah, or masticated bovine, which just means chewed beef.
Yes, I get it. Very funny. So let's take a listen here. The first track on the album is called Throwing My Mind in the Air. What was your inspiration for this particular track?
Musically, Gary pretty much handled the whole thing. He had... this you know, bass line and just kept adding to it. But I had this idea lyrically, let's do this leapfrog kind of thing. So I wrote the first part of the title, Throwing, and then did like a Mad Libs thing. I'm like, had Gary finish the rest of the title, and then the first line I wrote, and then a blank for Gary to fill, and so on. And eventually we came up with a cohesive, you know, line of lyrics that seemed to make sense.
Wow.
And the way the lyrics ended up fitting the actual song, I don't know, maybe Jason would have a different idea, but I had no idea what the melody or you know, how the song was going to go. I thought he might have had an idea in mind, but whatever. And so the bass line that he's talking about that I had sent to him, and then he sent me back with a drum track, and then I put guitar in it, et cetera, et cetera. I had no idea what that was going to be. And I just one day thought, you know what? We never really decided what this little poem thing that we wrote, Throwing My Mind in the Air, is what it's going to be. And I just said, well, I wonder if I could, you know, fit it to the bass line and all that stuff, and figured out a way of making it happen. And it was kind of amazing to me, because it was completely two separate things that we just sort of merged together at last minute.
It's sort of a dual stream of consciousness method of songwriting. It's very interesting. I'd like to take a listen to it. This is Throwing My Mind in the Air off of Beef Wellington and the Mad Cows' latest record. Thanks for listening on the Artist First Radio Network. Here it is. It's the latest track off of Beef Wellington and the Mad Cows, called Throwing My Mind in the Air, which is a lot like what music is. The musicians take their inspiration and put it out there in sonic form for us to hear, and it's floating in the air, and our little ears pick up on it. Of course, you know all that. But kind of neat. I like this song. Very funky, and we were talking about the horn sections on this album. Completely found sounds from loops and other records. I don't know how you did it. You got an entire sax solo in there that fit perfectly with it. I was kind of interested in the process there. Could you tell us a little bit about how you created those horn sections?
Well, like as you said, it's wave loops. I mean, we didn't lift it from other albums. It's there are wave loops available nowadays. You can just do a Google search and find, look up saxophone wave loop or something. And you know, there's some that are free. They're usually, of inferior quality because they don't want to give away the good ones. Or you can buy, a CD. Just go to a decent music store and buy a CD of drum loops or sax. They've got guitar and vocals and all kinds of stuff. It's just a bit of an art finding something that actually makes sense and you know, doesn't sound like you did major surgery on it.
Yeah, it comes off as totally natural on the album. So if you guys played live, and have you played live, what do you get for a saxophone player then?
Well, we've never played that particular song. I mean, when we play live, we do more covers than anything else. But the originals that we've done, we've done some of Jason's, some of mine. And we just, we pick songs that we think is going to resonate with the audience and that we can interpret however we can. So we've never actually had a sax player play with the band, to my memory.
So, we tend to stay away from the high production tracks, for live stuff.
It's costly to get extra musicians out there.
It would be, yes.
You know, when you're getting $10 a night, you got to split it 10 ways. I'm not that profitable.
Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite clubs to hit if you go out playing?
I'm partial to Madison Square Garden, but they haven't actually booked us yet. So, just local clubs. I like when I'm a spectator, I like going to see people in a club that's like no more than 100, 200 people. I mean, that's just when I'm going to see somebody. I just think it's more intimate and a much better experience on every level. So we've never played places bigger than that.
Sure. And have you gone out there and done a CD release party for the album or any
this
kind
is
of
actually
other promotions?
It.
Woo! We're probably down.
Drink up.
Yeah. because this was more like a, stay-at-home kind of project kind of thing, which is more my speed. I'm not much for playing out. I like to be the mad scientist at home and just create music and float it out and see where it goes. So
right.
This is more than I'm used to doing. So
now you're reaching a worldwide audience.
Yeah, cool.
And
hello, Russia.
Yeah, I think they probably really dug that first track. I'd like to go ahead on here. The next track's called Stargazer Lily. Let's give them another taste of what you guys are all about.
I know I believe something that you say. Nobody's wrong. Something high in the sky, burning my eyes, gazing too long. If you understand me, my Lily, you can be strong. And the sound makes people look down, they come around, I don't know.
Thank you.
That's Stargazer Lily off Beef Wellington and the Mad Cow's latest release, Masticated Bovine. The song was Stargazer Lily. Tell us, guys, what was the inspiration for this tune? Where did that kind of idea come from, Stargazer Lily?
Musically, I wrote the music and played the instruments, and I just had this, I was just jamming along on my acoustic, and I had like this Alice in Chains kind of John Lennon bent chord kind of idea song that I wanted to do, and just kind of like dark and, you know, whatever. And but I had no idea what to write, so I made up this mumbledy peg gobbledygook lyrics and sent it to Gary, just like blah 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 whatever. And so Gary's like, okay, I'll try to make sense out of this, and then he wrote the lyrics.
Yeah, and basically, you know, he was a little bit more than mumbled. You know, there were a couple of discernible words in it, but of course, there was no thematic. It didn't make sense. It was just words, you know. And I thought, well, I have no idea what this is going to be about. I'd never actually done that before, where I just wrote the lyrics for music that somebody had already written. So I said, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll just try to preserve whatever I could of what he kind of just was, kind of like his version of Scrambled Eggs Becomes Yesterday, you know. And I actually ended up coming up with a theme that's probably not all that discernible, but it basically goes back to when I was about 10 years old, and it was a solar eclipse, and I was a newspaper delivery boy, and I was told by somebody that if you look up at the sun, you'll go blind. And I thought I took it so literally, and I thought, my goodness, if I look up in the air for a second, I'm dead, you know. And so I went about delivering my papers not looking up at the sun, which is not that hard to do, but then I was amazed at how come all these other people are like defying wisdom and they're not going blind yet, you know? So I don't know. So anyway, like I said, the lyrics probably just sound like so much nonsense that you can't figure that out, but that's kind of what it's about.
Yeah, I got the Nectar of the Age line at the end there.
I can't tell you what that means. I really have no idea.
There was a line that didn't even make it in the song, which was Orange Flavored Monkey. Which, yeah, for some reason, I never sang it, but it's my favorite line in the whole song.
It's very descriptive.
Yeah.
So the other thing I wanted to ask you about in particular was this strange kind of concept for a name. And so what is that all about, Beef Wellington and the Mad Cows, besides the obvious, I guess?
Well, I've been in a number of bands, various permutations, like it's me and the bass player, and then we get a drummer and lose him, and then we've decided, look, we got to rename the band. So it seems like we're always in band naming mode, always sitting around spending hours thinking, what's the perfect name for this band? And I don't know, we can never agree on anything for some reason. So I actually have a text file at home with hundreds of names that I just came up with, some of which are ridiculous and will never work. But Beef Wellington and the Mad Cows is one of the ones that I liked, and nobody else liked it, or they felt it would never fit on a marquee or something.
Right.
And then what happened? You just
Well, yeah, I liked that. I thought it was pretty funny. It made me think of Monty Python or something like that. And so when we started this collaboration, I said, well, why don't we just use that name? We'll do like a fake band name, and, you know, like Sergeant Pepper or something. And you know, it was like, great. We found a home for it.
Right. And that's kind of why we came up with the idea for the album cover being kind of a parody of Sergeant Pepper, because that's the concept. It's like this phony band, you know, who's Beef Wellington and the Mad Cows. Nobody, you know, and I don't even know if the name of the album is Masticated. Well, it is Masticated Bovine, but it also says Meatless across the bottom where it used to say Beatles. So some people think, oh, is it called Meatless, or what's the name of this thing? And I guess I don't really care. You want to be confused, that's okay with me. That's what I'm about. So
you're hiding behind the smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, that was a good transition. The next tune is called Smoke and Mirrors that we're going to listen to. So any words of wisdom on this track?
Yeah, that was one that Gary had sort of like a riff already sitting around, like a Led Zeppelin kind of riff. And I had this riff of my own. And at the time we were thinking about collaborating, I said, well, maybe we could stick them together. They were in the same key, I think. And he had also told me about the show on PBS he was watching with some, I think it was one of the Penn and Teller guy talking about some band that no one ever heard of, and they were the best thing since the Beatles, and Gary thought it was a joke. And So I kind of like entered my consciousness, and I said, well, you know, smoke and mirrors, they're trying to prove something that isn't even true. And so I just started thinking in those terms, like the way basically everything in the world is easily to deceive people. And, you know, I kind of went with a rock edge.
Let's check it out. Here it is. Oh, go ahead. Did you have more?
Well, no, I was just going to say that this is one of two songs that I think are the only two songs that we were actually, at least for part of it, were in the same room when we wrote it together. I wrote the riff myself, and Jason wrote the rest of it himself, but the idea of putting it all together kind of came in the same room, which is pretty much traditionally the way songs are written, but we just didn't do it that way. So anyway, that's the story.
Great, let's check it out here. Smoke and Mirrors from Beef Wellington and the Mad Cows. You're listening to Beef Wellington and the Mad Cows on the Artist First Radio Network. That was actually a different song than we had originally intended to play. That was called Better Left Unsaid. But it did bring to mind some of the great guitar work that is on this album. You had some really sweet slide melodies on that one. Who's the, guitar aficionado in the group? Are you both guitarists or...
Yeah, both. You know, I mean, Jason played all of Stargazer Lily, all the instruments, and he played lead guitar on,
the backwards guitar in Stargazer, and...
That
was Gary doing slide, though. He's a slide man.
Right on.
Much better lead man than I am.
Who are the main influences, guitar-wise, for you guys?
Well, for me, far and away, Eric Clapton, which is probably not in evidence on this album, because it's really the blues that I like most, but... absolutely, Eric Clapton. But I've listened to a million, Jimi Hendrix and John McLaughlin, and I couldn't even tell you, Jeff Beck, Roy Buchanan, Joe Walsh. I mean, you name it, anybody that's any good. but I tend toward the blues, and Clapton is definitely my favorite.
Yeah, for me, it was just the simpler stuff like Creedence, Beatles, and, I did get into Queen there for a while, but I could never aspire to play like Brian May. But I like a nice... chunkier sound. That's why I play a Gibson, and I guess Gary plays a Strat, so we're on two sides of the fence about that.
All right, well, let's go ahead and check out Smoke and Mirrors for real this time. From behind the Smoke and Mirrors, here is Masticated Bovide. No, Meatless. No. Beef Wellington and the Mad Cows. We don't know what we're doing, but we love it anyway. Here it is.
Understand.
lemmings, smoking mirrors, messing with my mind. Smoking mirrors, trying to make me blind. Oh, hoodwinked over time, and no one is the wiser. Stepping forward, then I guess it's up to me. Pulling back the curtain on this harmful wizardry. The emperor is naked, smoking mirrors, fogging up my brain. Smoking mirrors, I can't see the strain. Smoking mirrors, burning up my eyes. Smoking mirrors, soaking up the life, smoking mirrors, yeah, 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 smoking mirrors, whoa, 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 oh, oh, smoking mirrors, no, 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 smoking mirrors, yeah, yeah,
smoking mirrors off of Masticated Bovine from Beef Wellington and the Mad Cows. We've got them on the air tonight, straight from New Jersey. Thanks for joining us tonight on Artist First. So, guys, I am trying to figure out some of your other influences besides the obvious Beatles here, but you also talked about some Joe Walsh influence on that one, but I'm thinking Frank Zappa.
I'm a big Zappa fan. I don't know if you, do you ever listen to...
No, very surface knowledge of Zappa.
Yeah. I think the
there's sort of a real prog rock kind of complexity to the guitar work there, and then...
That would be Gary's stuff anyway, so...
Go ahead.
Well, I had the main riff, but Gary was the lead man on that, so yeah.
Right.
Zappa guy.
But Jason actually mixed that last song because, you know, he owned that one. As I said before, we had to decide for each song who's going to do that. And I think I actually gave him a couple of guitar solos, which probably had a little bit of a problem or something. And he basically had this idea of, like, using both. I don't even know how he did it. But so, you know, I can't take 100% credit for that. It's just the madness of it is probably a product of two bizarre minds.
Right. That's maybe what I was getting out, getting to was sort of the off-the-wall sense of humor that you guys have when you come together to make this project. And there's this kind of sense that you don't take it that seriously. It's just sort of a fun thing for you to do. And I think Zappa, in a way, even though he devoted his whole life to music, that was sort of how he looked at it, as a fun way to make a living.
Yeah, and why should you take it too seriously anyway? I most of my stuff tends to be more of on a serious note, but I always try to throw in some little bizarre little touch in there. But Jason's stuff, you know, he's got, you know, I don't even know how many other CDs, and it, I would say it's not, you know, comedy records by any means, but they're more lighthearted and you know, fun than the territory I usually go into. So that's one of the reasons why I love doing this record, because it's just one of our rules for every song was it has to have something quirky, if not absolutely comedic about it. And it was a blast for that reason.
Yeah, definitely an album to, if you're into just sort of exploring the realm of the mind of and just kind of outside the box thinking, you guys really go out there.
Yeah, we bring a few things back with us.
Okay, so any other tracks you'd like to listen to here on the hour today?
Did you want to jump to Just As You Are?
Oh, okay, Just As You Are, which is what, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I guess?
Yeah, I think, well, I wrote 7 down, so track 7 is Just As You Are.
Oh, you're right. It
we
is.
Wanted to send a shout-out to some folks back home in Rhode Island, right,
yeah.
Jason?
Yeah, that's right. I'm originally from North Providence, Rhode Island, and I got a few of my family and friends. I Facebooked a lot of them. Hopefully they're listening in. If not to the archives, just want to say hey. I can pretty much say hey to all of Rhode Island because that's about, 150 people or so. So we're covered.
Great. Thanks for listening. Here's Just As You Are.
Just as you are living a fantasy. You can't turn the clock back and be what you used to be. Just as you are you're not a parody. Somewhere deep inside a real personality, and I can see pushing up on the gray skies. Blue, blue, it's in you. Grateful used to be you. You are living a fantasy. Just as 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 you are.
Dripping with sarcasm, Just As You Are, from who are you guys?
Beep.
Wellington
and
the
Mad
Cows
Incorporated
.com, and you're available on CD Baby. Some of the most hilarious, and that's actually a deeper song than some people may realize. Not Just As You Are, but maybe you need to change. Why should you accept yourself as you are if you're... How did you guys say it?
A deadhead?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really intend a deep message. I guess it always sort of comes out because you're trying to think of what was the song really about. But it's a bit of tongue in cheek, or was that the right word? It's lighthearted, in other words. So, I mean, we're not trying to say what's the matter with all you deadheads? Why don't you grow up? But that is sort of the message of the song if you take it literally. But it's just a way of saying something kind of lighthearted. But that wasn't the original idea of the song. I was saying before that I started writing this back when I was a teenager, back in the early 20s or something, and of the last century, I mean. And it just had a completely different meaning, and I never did anything with it until I pulled it out and said to ask Jason if he thought we should use this, and he said, yeah, it sounds good. And we were actually down at the shore, the Jersey Shore. With anybody in New Jersey knows what I mean by that. And we just sat down one night and just wrote these words. Actually, that's probably the third song that we wrote in the same room, come to think of it. I guess I'm a liar.
And it's sort of like when William Shatner made fun of Trekkies. It's like, it's just a joke, people.
So don't all you deadheads, write in, because I think
tons of deadhead hate mail now is streaming into my computer. I can't stop it. I'm frozen up here.
We'll roll the dice on that one.
So do you guys, I guess you wouldn't classify yourselves as hippies or ex-hippies. What era did you come into music from? Not even remotely.
Not remotely. I'm more like an 80s kind of guy. I grew up listening to college radio, back in the new wave days of Brown University up there in Providence.
The I Hate Hippies era. Because all my parents, my parents are hippies. And they've been tripping on acid my whole life, and they never had time for me as a kid.
Interesting.
Hmm. Well, is it something you want to talk about a little bit more?
Off-air?
It's kind of funny that you mentioned it, because my first reaction to that question is, I remember when I was like five listening to whatever. I mean, whether it was Mozart or the Ohio Express, I listened to it, the Ohio Express being a bubblegum group that we'd like to forget about. But actually, I remember the Woodstock time, like in 1969, I was probably around 10 years old, and I wanted to be at Woodstock. When I read about it in the paper, that's where I had to be, but I was too young to figure out how to get up there without my parents' permission, so actually I'm probably glad I didn't, but, my influence go
far back. So you guys are of two different generations, I would imagine. Am I right? Am I picking up on that right? Or
I mean, I'm only 45, and Gary, you want to?
Only 173. No, I'm pretty close to that, so in the ballpark.
Yeah.
But just as far as me actually recognizing music and liking it, other than my sister's Beatle albums that all skipped, which I thought every song had a skip in it. It wasn't until I was about 16 that I started to seriously listen to music. So.
We've sort of got eras of music, which I think you guys have a good kind of understanding about music history and almost your place in it, and you sort of react to songs in your music, which is interesting and self-reflective in a way.
Yeah.
So you go from these different eras kind of changing. Obviously, we're not looking at top 40. Sort of wannabes here. You guys are
more like the bottom 40, if anything.
You're going for I'm not bottom 40, obviously, but not trying to be commercial, but really following your heart. Or
right.
Plus, we have faces for radio anyway, so.
Right. But I think it's an art to come up with a hook and make something really accessible to millions of people that are going to love it. But I don't, and I try to think about what would the hook be. Maybe I'll throw in a little John Fogerty, two notes on the guitar or something. But when you come right down to it, if an idea comes into my head, I do it. And if I end up liking it, I record it, and it doesn't matter to me whether it's going to be album filler or whatever it is.
Yeah, I usually write songs that I think I would listen to if it came on the radio, or I would actually buy. So it is a little self-serving, but it's like you make a meal that you enjoy. Because you like it, so I kind of look at music the same way.
Yeah, I wouldn't say self-serving necessarily, but more like honest, rather than trying to be something that everybody wants you to be.
Right, there you go. I like that better.
Right. I dig you guys. So I just want to hear some more of this stuff. Let's. Do you care if we listen to a song called High on Yesterday?
It's okay with us.
Yeah, it's all good, fine. Huh? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
If you want, it's not a Gary Jason collaboration other than the guitar.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you guys actually
solo.
Aren't on this album?
No. This is what Jason was saying is that we didn't write this song together. Jason and his wife wrote it, and he recorded it 100% with him and Elaine. I just added the guitar, so it is collaborative, of course, but not in the sense that we wrote it together.
All right.
That's why we were going to avoid it like the plague tonight, but that's okay.
Didn't want to hear.
No, that's fine.
No, play it. It's a good song. I like it. And it's got more sax loops.
Oh, well, great. Here we go. Sax Loop City.
Money was
You're listening to Beef Wellington and the Mad Cows. I'll just leave it playing there in the background a little bit. We've got Jason Arvanites and Gary Alt on the line with us today. Thank you guys for joining us today.
Sure thing.
It was a pleasure listening to your music and learning a little bit about your project. I kind of like the communal aspect to it. You've got your wife on this record.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of a, I guess you could say, a goodwill project between you two guys. You both, or Gary, I know you've got another project that you do sort of as a full-time playing covers gig,
mm-hmm.
type thing. It pays the bills, I'm sure, in some way, you know, getting those cover gigs. And then,
well, when I have those bubblegum bills at the drugstore, yeah.
Bubblegum bills, yeah.
Anyway.
And this might be more of a kind of a fun release. And it's great that, you know, there's still people out there that, I don't know, there's kind of a jaded thing that happens with musicians when their music is never sort of received.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to find other people to collaborate with. On original material. So I like that, and I enjoy that you guys have been able to get something together, and it's a great sounding project. So
thanks.
We want to encourage everybody to check it out on CD Baby, and the band is Beef Wellington and the Mad Cows. The album's Masticated Bovine. And anybody else you guys want to say hello to out there in the world of internet radio?
None that I can think of right now. I pretty much covered the state of Rhode Island, maybe a few friends in New Jersey, and
yeah.
A couple others.
Gary,
yeah, I'm sorry.
Any last words, Gary?
Oh, I guess hello to all the member nations of the United Nations. I don't know. they're probably, you know, hanging on my every word, so.
Yeah, we've got Barack Obama online, too. He's just
yeah,
been waiting
too.
For his time to get on
he's
here.
A nice guy. Yeah.
And if the U.S. Beef Council wants to sponsor our album's promotion, we're expecting a call anytime soon. So,
thank you so much for joining us today on the
Thank
Artist
you.
First Radio Network, and you guys for being on the line. You've been great. Be sure to check out their album, and keep listening to us here on the Artist First Radio Network. I'm going to play one more track off the album. It's track 10. It's called Where Did You Go? More great tracks like this, be sure to check out cdbaby.com. Thanks once again for listening to the Artist First Radio Network.